Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are listening to Talks Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. Talks Machina airs live at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific, and it's also uploaded to youtube.com/Critical Role on Thursday mornings. If you like our podcast, please rate and review it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, here's this week's episode of Talks Machina.
Are we on the internet?
You're not Brian Wade Foster!
I am not Brian W. Foster. Tonight, the Mighty Nine engage in official acts of piracy, find magical paint, and land on Pirate Island. We'll break it all down with my guests, Liam O'Brien, Taliesin Jaffe, and Brian W. Foster.
Oh, so quiet tonight.
Oh, he looks so handsome. Oh, you're doing great, Brian. All that and more tonight on Talks Machina. No. So I am not Brian W. Foster. In case you may have missed the announcement on Twitter, Brian is not here with us tonight. He is perfectly fine. There are no emergencies. He's doing something really, really cool. So he is not here tonight, but I am, and I'm Danny Carr, normally seen on Danny Cam. And but for tonight, that's a pillow of Brian.
Oh man!
But we've got Liam and Taliesin.
Thank God we finally replaced that guy.
So much work.
Dead weight and
so
work.
Much to get rid of him.
Propped him up constantly.
It's an airtight contract he had. It was really rough.
I don't even know who wrote that for him. Like it's really good legalese.
The devil himself.
Apparently.
You can't mess with tenure. Danny, we're so excited that you're hosting the show.
Goodness.
It's
going to
be such a good... I dropped Carrie! Everything's going wrong.
Oh, no. Okay, she's okay. We have announcements. Mm. Let's talk about announcements. Mm-hmm. Let's do some of my job. Okay, so the final episode of this season of All Work, No Play will debut on twitch.tv/Critical Role this Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific. This week, Liam and Sam are kicking back in a hot tub with guests from this first season. Liam, that's you.
We are in a hot tub?
Y'all are in a hot tub.
I'm very excited because in a certain backhanded way, I got to dress everybody.
Yes, you did. Yeah. It was such a surreal night. We had a lovely time. I can't wait for everybody to see it.
Yay!
Especially the costuming.
I'm very excited.
Real cute.
I'm very excited.
So through the month of November, we're raising money for Travis's favorite charity, Operation Supply Drop. OSD has helped over 750,000 members of the military community since its inception and continues to support active military members, veterans, and their families. We're about halfway through our fundraising campaign and have raised over $34,000 together. Donate now at critroll.com/OSD. And our second art book, The Chronicles of Exandria, Volume 2, The Legend of Vox Machina, is available for pre-order at shop.critroll.com and shop.critroll.co.uk. Take a look at that pretty thing.
Oh, yeah, there we are.
That's beautiful.
No, just giving everyone whiplash.
I'm going to show a page.
You want to show
a page?
I'm going to show a page and some writing. This has never been seen before.
Ever! Oh, it's so pretty.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, half elves.
Should I show a creepy Vecna page?
Yes, you should show a creepy Vecna page. Oh. Look at that bastard.
Oh God, I love it so much.
That's beautiful.
God, bastard.
An important note, if you do not reside in the UK or the US, you may want to check both stores to see which is the most cost-effective for you. Your mileage may vary. Huge thanks for all of your support on our book launch so far. Oh.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Oh God.
Proud. Proud parents.
So I think that's all of our announcements.
Well, one other thing, and it's not really officially an announcement, but you might have seen the new hoodies that we have on the Crit Store. They're a spin on the old, how do you want to do this hoodie?
Show
the back. Here it is, check it out, ka-dang. The font is by a calligrapher named Chris Gladys, who's in Japan. I did a beautiful job. They're cozy as the last ones.
Very cozy.
Snug, soft.
They're soups cozy.
Yeah,
they run a little small.
Almost everybody in this building is wearing this hoodie, right?
We had a meeting earlier today, and every single person except for maybe like two of us were not wearing the hoodie. I was wearing it, but I said us as like a royal we thing. But you know, only, I think like maybe two people in that meeting didn't have a hoodie on. We were all just like, we looked like we were all going to Disneyland, and we were all like in team colors.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing at Disneyland. You like see everyone wandering around with the same shirt.
Exactly. I got an annual pass, you guys. I feel so cool. I have like a thing on my car now. I have never felt more valid.
Do you have the parking pass too?
I don't have the parking pass, but they still send, even if you have like any of the annual passes, they still like send you like a bumper sticker.
Oh, that's good.
And I put it on my car, which is named Percy.
Wow. Yes.
And I was just very pleased. It makes me feel very valid.
Obstinate and prone to mechanical failure.
Don't insult my car.
Have you named all your cars?
I have named all my cars. My first car was named Betty. It was a Chevy Blazer. Yeah, my second car was a Chevy Silverado, Ford Silverado. God, I suck. It was a Silverado, and it was named Jake. And then this is my Honda Civic, and he is named Percy.
Have you ever named a car?
I
name everything.
I'm sure I must have, but I can't. Nothing comes to mind at the moment. I haven't had that many cars either. To be fair, I'm only on like car. This is car number three right now
in your life.
Yeah, I didn't drive for like a whole chunk of my 20s.
Wow.
Okay.
I was just driven places by people.
And subways too.
A little bit of subway. Yeah.
Do you name cars?
I don't think I ever have. No.
You have a Danny car.
Oh.
Wow. As someone with the last name Carr, I have to make the joke myself before other people make it.
No, this is the night we're in for. That's okay.
I'll be good, I promise. Okay. So, okay, without further ado, let us discuss episode 41 of Critical Role Campaign 2, A Pirate's Life for Me. Yarr. Alrighty, here we are. So we're gonna start this off with some crit roll stats from our friends at Crit Roll Stats. Did it work?
It worked.
Hey! Yes. .com, critrollstats.com. Yeah, that one. You did it. Okay, I did it right. Nobody told Brian.
I'd just like to point out that there has not been a single parole reference this entire episode so far.
We're 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
9 minutes in.
Okay.
Just you wait.
It usually takes a minute.
Well, I'm not Brian, and I am not on parole.
He is tonight. He is his parole officer's date to the policeman's ball tonight.
We all just start making up things for what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think that sounds pretty magical. I mean, that one was true, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, they came in with two giant butterfly nets, and away they took him.
It was like watching Cinderella, but like in like black and white stripes and the like, you know, like the little hat. Mm-hmm. It was really cute. So we have Carol stats.
Okay, what you got?
And it is that Caleb cast his 100th alarm spell this episode. It's pretty cool. You've been protecting the party 100 times.
He does it every day. Mm. Every day that has existed, whether we did it or not, in-game, he does it.
This is the 100th time you've said, I'm going to take my silver thread and I'm going to put it around the room and I'm going to cast alarm.
This time in front of the fourth wall.
That's right.
Caduceus has healed other people for 328 damage since he appeared in episode 28.
320 too many. It's fair. kidding. Wow.
328 too many.
I was giving them 8. I felt 8 was respectable.
8 was fine. Calm down, Jester. I'm sorry, Jester's a really good cleric, and I think that she does a really good job. I love you, Laura.
Sometimes you gotta be mercy, except for the gun.
I play clerics a lot, and there's so, that's why I love clerics, is because there's so many different ways that you can make a cleric be your own style.
So many different ways you can not heal the party. I'm so sorry, I'm gonna die tonight.
Do we know how many points of damage Jester has healed in the party?
I'm sure Kurt Roll Stats does, but it is not tonight. On my it is not on my doc right now. Focus they can up. Message us later.
Okay.
And the last one, Caleb has the highest nat 20 rate, 6.6% for a current Mighty Nein member, but Molly had a rate of 7%.
Oh, that's pretty good, but he's dead.
He is dead. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Still the record to beat, though.
Yeah.
Get good.
Someday.
One day.
One day you'll get there.
Someday.
Well, one day we'll all be as cool as Molly Mock.
No.
It's just what I tell myself at night in order to help myself sleep.
Effortlessly glamorous.
Anyway. Okay, so our first question comes to us from Siegebreaker, Liam and Taliesin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who do you think actually won the rap battle between Molly Mock and Caleb?
Oh.
Would either of them have an actual interest in spitting rhymes?
I mean, I think we all won.
I was going to say, I feel like the world won with that.
The world won.
We watched that twice, and we in fact figured out how to throw cast to the television.
On a big TV, so we could see it proper. I love every sick burn stuck to Caleb.
Oh man, there's some good ones.
So good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
I still think my favorite line was, I'm saving counterspell for your next resurrection. Mm-hmm. I may have lost it a little bit.
That was pretty good.
That was a solid burn.
I also like not saying how can they find me where when I don't know where I am.
Yes.
Yeah. Straight up, that video is amazing.
That's
I've
so
watched
fantastic.
It 10 times.
I'll
you
post
guys.
It on the Tox Machina socials later. I can't do it right now. I guess I could, but that would derail things, and I'm not going to do that. So I'll post it later, yay. would either of them have an interest in spitting rhymes and rapping?
Mean, like, I think Molly would be entertained by it, yeah.
Spitting rhymes, I think he would treat it like the layers of a spell. So yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This rap, serious, what you're saying is this rap battle is canon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
That's all I wanted.
Not in front of the fourth wall, but there was one day.
So our second question, I forgot the word for question. Really good job, Danny, you're killing it.
You are killing it. You're doing great.
I'm just going to laugh through the whole thing. It'll be fine. Comes from @CarnoLesbian. Liam.
What a name.
I know. That's the one that Brian always mispronounces, but I actually know how to say it. So congratulations, Cardinal Lesbian. You get to actually pronounce properly today. Liam, was giving the periapt to Caduceus purely for in-character reasons, or was there also a meta full circle consideration of getting the item back to Taliesin?
Oh, sprinkle of both, probably.
Yeah.
But the game that Caduceus got spit out of the water pimple, I look at my spells a lot in this game, and I'm thinking about what I could do a minute later, so I miss things a lot. And I had no idea that the character was unconscious when it got shot out. Mm-hmm. So my in-character decision was, I can do this many people, and that's the new guy. So, I mean, you must have been like, what the fuck are you doing in that moment?
I'm like, really? Really? Yeah. This is how it's going? This
no,
is how I die?
I just assumed you were going to fall down and take 10 points of damage. But in character being, and I mean, like, you know,
no.
In the moment, they were getting spit out of the top of a temple. He wouldn't have known who was conscious and who wasn't.
No.
But
it worked out.
It worked out. Caleb is always way the fuck far away. I'll be fine or I'll die. It just makes more sense as a game player for this cleric who heals people to be the guy who's up.
Mm-hmm. And I really do try and keep a really good arsenal of spells for that. And also, he's really good at getting people back up, which is even better. Like if someone goes down, it's one of those great things where if someone does like hit the ground and down, I can spend a level 3 or level 4 spell and get them almost back to normal.
Yeah.
Also in great character. This guy has gotten fucking raked over the coals.
He's had some really bad days.
Yeah, over and over again.
Like, I'm the wet tissue. I'm the one who should be down and down and down.
Was it like one of those things where somebody like just keeps getting hurt and you're just like, that's my job. Mm. What are you doing? Give me my job back.
There wasn't time in game, but like in the meta text of the game, I imagine that he's been taking some time on the ship and like actually like jumping into the ocean going, nope, I'm getting used to this.
Aww.
I'm fucking going, like, I'm not gonna be weird about this. And like actually like swimming and like getting comfy again. So back on the horse.
That's really sweet. That's such a great little character
thing. It's just another aspect of nature, and it is also filled with wonderful life. And it's all designed to kill you, so that's not the problem.
So. I love him. He's so great.
I love him too.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
There we are. Such an easy voice to do too. That's nice. Really easy on the throat after like a 4-hour session.
Hermit of Kashmir wants to know, Taliesin, how did it feel to receive Molly's stabilizing necklace again? What did Caduceus think about Caleb giving it to him?
What did I think about Caduceus? I thought, Caduceus. Thank fucking God it was about time.
I spent my money on that.
Yeah.
I really need it back, man. Thank you for not burying it with me. I'm like, the whole thing is you.
It wasn't even a random thing you found. You worked towards purchasing it.
Yeah. I bought it with my money. Yep. It was pretty, and I bought it.
Yeah, but my guy's selfish. I had to wait for a little while.
I mean, like, Caduceus definitely thought it was really sweet and sees its practicality. He's very big into the practicality of an object, and was very pleased that something so useful exists in life, and that someone would think to push forward something right. So useful. He's becoming very endeared to these people, although he actually likes everybody quite a bit.
Well, that's nice.
So
I'm glad that he's fond of this band of merrymakers.
Yeah. I mean, like the list of people he doesn't like is very short, to be fair.
Ooh, who's on his list of people he doesn't like?
I mean, he's got some sibling issues with one of his siblings. There's some family stuff.
Will you tell me later?
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
I haven't told Matt yet, so he'll murder me because I just haven't turned my paper in.
Also, census takers.
Oh. Yeah. I was trying to remember that O Brother with the O Brother out there, the kid with the... I can't remember.
It's been a minute since I watched O Brother.
You're from the census? I'm supposed to shoot anybody from the census. Occasionally people start trouble in the cemetery, and he's got a in the graveyard.
Those people are on his hit list.
Yeah, again, he doesn't like lazy people. He doesn't like he's got a thing about
John
laziness.
Metti. He didn't like John Metti very much.
No, I mean he was already not inclined, but
there's a question about John Metti later, but
we'll get there.
So yeah. We're gonna skip this question from Nutella Ice Cream because it's actually about why did Caleb decide to exclude Caduceus from Featherfall, which you answered.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So
he's a new guy. Yeah. I also didn't know that he was about to die.
Yeah, just
we get
so,
distracted.
At Wacky Historian wants to know, Fork Taliesin, Caduceus's passive insight has led to some very intriguing moments between him and the other characters. What did he see in Caleb that he thinks is important? Or was he saying that more for Caleb's benefit?
Oh, no, he doesn't mince. He sees potential. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, any time that you meet somebody who's obviously, like, we all have, I mean, God, especially in this town, we all have friends where you're like, oh, God, you're just, like, 1 month of getting your shit together away from being so cool. You just get your shit together. Just get your shit together. And God, we would rule this town if you just get your shit together. And so he's definitely like, he definitely sees the potential of Caleb being a really positive influence in the world mm-hmm. if he would just get his shit together.
It's gonna take some time.
Oh, it's gonna take some time. He's in no rush.
Yeah.
But. He definitely, and he's also, he's with this group because his, on a weird level, he's under the impression that his goddess told him to.
I really liked that moment, though, between the two of you guys where you talked about how this is a test of faith, and it wouldn't be a test if it was easy.
Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was perfect.
It took him a while to get there.
From Et Capitan Obvious, everyone... In all the time you've known him, have you ever before seen Travis turn that particular shade of red he became as Jester and Knott were discussing Jester's first kiss?
Gosh, that was so good on so many levels.
Yeah.
Well, he's just hiding his face.
Bailey was on fire last week.
She did so good.
She was obviously upset that she'd messed the week before.
She's not watching, so she? You're fine. She was really good last week.
So good.
I think she was upset that she missed one. I think she just saved up an extra episode.
That's right. That was three
she
episodes
came out on
worth
fire.
Of
sex.
Yeah. Yeah, Travis also just kind of shrank a full foot. Mm. He turtled in a bit. Yeah. Yeah, I think the best part of this campaign is generally watching Travis squirm in different ways, and Laura's largely responsible for
that. Ways.
He's Travis is having such a wonderful experience with this round. I'm very pleased.
So good. I love it so much. Hey, you guys want to give away some free shit?
All the free shit.
Yes. What do we got?
Give it away free shit. I've never done this before. Let's do it. Our first giveaway tonight is honoring your epic gift-making skills. It's time for GIF of the Week.
GIF of the Week.
GIF of the Week, yes. Our winner for Campaign 2, Episode 41 was sent in by Amber, lightandmagic.tumblr.com. Let's take a look.
Bring it.
Lucky day. Paint dicks.
Yeah.
There will be dicks.
That is happiness.
Just everywhere, just dicks everywhere. Yeah, let's do it one more time. It's a pretty short one.
It's your lucky day.
Critical Role. Come for the role play. Stay for the dicks.
Dicks.
Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Dicks. Yeah, that was worth getting into a fight with a dude in armor in the bottom of a boat.
It's worth becoming pirates.
Yeah.
Congrats to you, Amber. You have won this Critical Role Retro Tee, available at shop.critroll.com.
Yay.
Hey, look at that. It's so pretty. It's super soft. Yay. Moving on. That was fun.
You're killing it.
Yay! Now you made me laugh. Okay. Damn it.
Break number one. Well done.
Well, this question is for you, and it's from Imberus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they want to know what was going through Caleb's head during the conversation with Caduceus at the start of the episode. How did Caduceus's thoughts compare to his own ideas of fate and destiny?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I really was trying to prod you for some stuff.
Yes, I know. Both your characters like to do that in different ways.
Yeah. Caleb does not handle it well to have people be nice to him. He does not know what to do with it. It should not be coming his way, but still is like on this tightrope of being like, smile, say thank you, act like you're a human. Okay, we survived that one. On to the next.
It's like when somebody compliments you and you don't know how to like accept the compliment and you're just like...
Yes.
In your head you're going, no.
20 times a day.
Thanks, guys.
It was like that with Molly, too. Like, Molly at one point talked about how, like, you know, put it all behind you, man. Just, you know, look forward. And Caleb just went...
Everything of importance happened in the past. Yeah. The future is barren.
There's only the past.
Put it in reverse.
Caduceus is a very kind man. I still have, as Caleb, have this new guy mentality, which is
nuts. Y'all technically been with Clay longer than y'all were with Molly. The episodes don't line up, but like in-game time.
In-game. Plus, I've known Taliesin since the mid-2000s.
Oh, yeah.
But when we sit down in this campaign.
VHS tape of you. It's that deep.
Yeah. I still.
There's embarrassing VHS tapes of all of us, let's be honest.
Caleb, I think until this last episode has had sort of a new guy wall up for Caduceus, and that thawed it out. But it still did not take the compliment or the whatever that was.
No, and I think I've thawed almost everybody except maybe not. I think she's still a little, she's jumpy.
That girl's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that not. I mean, y'all aren't asking for my opinion, but I feel like Nott does like you. And y'all had that really lovely moment together on the boat one night where the two of y'all were talking.
She doesn't understand me at all, though.
Well, I mean, she doesn't have to understand you, but she does, I think, like you.
Whereas, I think everybody else is kind of starting to figure out his bag.
Right. I'm so excited for more stuff about Caduceus.
Oh, man, me too. I got a poor Matt.
Hey, there's another question for you, Taliesin.
Oh, man. Oh.
It's from at @ArcaneLock. During Caduceus' talk with Caleb, there's a lot of questions about this talk.
It was a good talk.
It was a really good talk. I liked it. He said Jester had given him a lot to think about. What sort of things did he take away from that conversation with her, and what's he been thinking about since?
I'll say that he, I mean, like, boy, he's a monastery kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he's kind of been subjected to one
train of thought his entire life. I mean, like, and eventually I'll get into this, and poor Matt, I hate doing this to him before he's had time to think about it, but, like, other than disagreements about the nature of who they are and what they should do in the family and, like, the family history, he doesn't really, he's someone who's loved the idea of opposing viewpoints on the nature of the world and reality, but mm-hmm. does not really had to deal with them
right.
at any point. It's very much like the
homeschooled, and now he's in high school.
Yeah, no, he's homeschooled and he's in college now.
Yeah,
it's not even high school; it's in college. It's like there's.
I don't know. I feel like people were a lot meaner in high school than they were in college.
Theology and feminist theory. What is happening in my life?
Girls.
There's a lot. Dogs, cats living together.
Here's being and nothingness. Have your thesis in next week.
Yeah, it's kind of blown his mind, and so it was definitely like it was definitely the first time that another cleric kind of came up with a different opinion on the world and a different viewpoint, and kind of the he's not really used to thinking in theological terms about the interconnectedness of people. Mm-hmm. It's very much his religious beliefs are really all very naval contemplation and very internal, and not about the relationship between people and the world and civilization.
Right.
And now it's just kind of all happening, and he didn't really know how to chew on that, and she in that talk that we had after the second drowning, Lord, I think he really kind of, she definitely gave him a like way of starting to process that and be like, okay, I'm this nice chill guy who's occasionally going to get into these weird fights and do some weird criminal shit, mm-hmm. and this is how and why, and kind of start to have some context for that.
You know, Sunday school is one thing, but then to go out in the world and practice what you've been discussing is a whole other thing.
Right. No, it's theory versus action.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it's literally coming from I mean, like it's real homeschool to you know, piracy
to an internship at Google.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There's a lot of ethical issues that just pop up every day.
Your kid, let's take you on a boat.
So
maybe not that.
She's been very good. She's got a good sense of humor, and he's been leaning into that too.
She cheers everybody up.
Yeah. She does. That's one of the best things about Jester
that's
is
her
that
power.
Yeah, that is her superpower. Mm-hmm. Is the fact that she's you need sunshine
and dicks.
And dicks.
Just dicks everywhere.
Okay, so from oh god.
Rain of dicks. Ah! Cast rain of
dick
dicks.
Rain. Dick rain. Camera missed the dick rain.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. I disagree. Yeah,
stoicism, Danny. Stoicism.
I have that hot dog gift going through my head now.
Oh God!
Sorry.
No. Ah.
Let's save us from all of this.
Thank you.
With a question from @bschlosky. That's not helpful.
Did not save us. There's no saving this.
That didn't help.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Schlosky wants to know for Liam. Self-preservation has been vital to Caleb in the past, so to give the periapter caduceus felt like a big deal. Loaning Frumpkin to Beau was also incredibly trusting. How have Caleb's feelings about the Nine changed, and did anything specific set it off?
He's been a good friend lately, man.
Yeah, you've been real nice.
Well, I feel like we've kind of poked at this a little bit, and it's just kind of, it's gotten deeper and intensifying. He does like these people. I think there's still project management wrapped up in it as well.
Sure.
He wants to keep the group cohesive together. And on track. Right, Caduceus has gotten his ass handed to him a couple of times. Beauregard was down. I mean, not physically or injured, but like she's been sort of dragging with things that have been happening. Not wants to, you know, she loves the group and wants everyone to be happy. Like everyone, they need to stay together. I mean, he can, it's fine. It'd be fine, I guess, for Caleb and not to go off. But like, why cultivate a whole new group? Like I'm talking about the mercenary, the tactical side of him, because yeah, he obviously is charmed by many people in this group, likes the people in the group. But it's never just that. It's, you know, he's liking them in spite of himself, and is trying to keep up appearances. And Caleb, you know, at the start of this campaign, I think we're getting him still just crawling out of a cave. Mm-hmm. But he's had some time to sort of interface with people and be normal again. And when he was younger, he was trained to be practical and trained also to, this is another thing that I haven't like fully really discussed with Matt, but
y'all should really talk to Matt more. This feels like
he's
like a
so
recurring
busy
thread.
Though. He's yeah. so busy. So that's are true. We. like he was trained to be friendly. Mm-hmm. He was trained to be charming. It's not what anybody has seen at the beginning of this campaign, but when he was a young man, he was. He could dance with people.
Exactly. I was about to actually say that because in Final Fantasy VIII, they do a whole thing where he has to learn how to dance, mm-hmm. and it's really great. Anyway, it's like a soldier thing.
Yeah, you do. We all remember.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you do. It's because like you have to be able to infiltrate.
Spies
and
are often charming.
Exactly.
This one's just broken.
Would you consider him? Not would you? Does he consider himself sentimental? Would he describe himself as a sentimental person? I feel like I know the answer to whether or not he is. I just don't know if he thinks if he's aware of his sentimentality.
Yeah, he probably sees it as a fault.
Mm-hmm.
He just really like that cat.
Hmm?
He just really like his cat.
I mean, he's all about sentiment. Everything that he wants to do is about sentiment.
Yeah.
He could go and escape and be a shoemaker. Yeah,
it's very true. Is sentiment without actually like looking that sentimental about things? Yeah. Just being very.
I'm just imagining him making like transmutation shoes.
I think it's sentiment that's kept him.
My family was shoemakers in Italy.
Is that really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
My like great grandparents in Italy were shoemakers. They were cobblers. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's cool. I like that factoid. Good shoemakers.
Facts with Danny.
The last thing I was going to say is that I think sentiment has probably kept him alive because in his time alone, the first thoughts were about ending it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just being stuck on getting it back that keeps him going.
Right.
Anyway.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
At Kudipatra wants to know, for Taliesin, Caduceus took some initiative in intimidating and boarding the merchant ship. Does he not have moral qualms about theft, or does he just see it as a necessary evil given the Nine's current predicament?
Doesn't really. He has some moral qualms about theft, but they're complicated and not theft and ownership and possession is a very civilized thing,
mm-hmm.
and nothing. The notion that things belong to people is a little silly, but with the understanding that you're not supposed to hurt people is a little. You know, or more to the point that you have to be very. There's some give and take in the way that one inflicts damage upon the world, mm-hmm. and you have to be very careful about it and very even. But no, I mean, he saw the situation that they were in and was like, well, as long as everyone walks away and can walk away healthy and reasonably happy, everything should be fine. So yeah, we're going to take some things now.
I loved the like, and I'll heal you guys and things like that.
Happy
I thought that
help.
Was quite
yeah.
lovely.
Fair trade. Beautiful. We have things to offer as well.
I loved you using thaumaturgy to announce over to the boat and all that. I thought that was really cool. I loved your Caleb's firebolt as well to kind of continue the intimidation. It was great.
Harmless. A good
intimidation
role.
I loved that whole section. I thought it was brilliant. It made me happy.
I think of him as like a really threatening Dark Crystal puppet. That's always funny.
To be fair, a lot of those puppets
pretty
are
threatening.
Really threatening.
Terrifying puppets.
Fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Movie scared me when I was a kid. I was fine with Labyrinth, but Dark Crystal, they were just a little too weird.
In my heart of hearts one day, I want to see Froud draw Caduceus. So.
That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Remember that. At Marvelous, Miss C wants to know, both. So it's both of you guys.
That's us.
Between this campaign and the last, there have been several characters who have had sailing mentioned as part of their background. How does it feel to actually be trying the seafaring lifestyle in-game? Because in the campaign one, you guys were on a boat, but you guys didn't have to like do things on the boat.
No,
you weren't navigating or being the quartermaster, loading cannons or anything. Mm-hmm. Y'all were just there.
Percy and Pike also both had off-camera backstory on boats.
Yep.
Right. I as a player, as a person, as a human, I like it. It's really cool. I thought that at most, like, we'd go on a boat ride with Ford at some point in this campaign, but I didn't think that we'd have to learn how to.
I am weeks of sailing.
I am totally okay spending like a couple levels as pirates,
yeah.
or at least
yeah.
as seafaring, or maybe privateers. I don't know how it's going to
come
together.
Same. Caleb, not so much, but I am enjoying.
No.
Boat.
No, same with Caduceus, not so much, mm-hmm. but like he's leaning into it.
It's interesting for you guys as players.
I want to go to Barbados.
It's fun to play either the discomfort being there or the reasons for wanting to get it, like the conflict, you know. Mm-hmm. It's all about what are you butting your head up against.
Right.
But yeah, I haven't figured out how he's going to lean into being a pirate. Like, what is it that's going to like really get to him and make him excited?
It's a real test of faith of Mighty Nine.
That's fair. That's fair.
Wouldn't be a test if it was easy. Mm. I don't know. There were a lot of easy tests.
Yarr.
Like, I feel like every English test I ever took was easy. Anyway,
I have my English professor.
I smell you, Nancy Drew.
Yeah,
it's true. I was real bad at math, though. Like, really bad. Anyway, let's distract ourselves from my tests. What the fuck am I doing? At Sad Cypress wants to know.
I mean, basically what Brian W. Foster does every week.
Right?
Just pull words out of your butt.
It's all out of the butt. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Liam, does the piratical... Well, we kind of answered this, but we can go into it. The piratical way of life suit Caleb's desire to stay under the radar of the authorities? Or does it feel like tempting fate if they get a reputation as the no-kill pirates?
That
should be like a song. No-kill pirates.
You know, there's ups and downs to it. These authorities don't really matter to him. They're not his authorities. It's not his...
It's not Trent Ithacon.
Right, it's not the Empire. Even if someone were to see him here, the chances of someone knowing him out here, like, he feels a lot safer than he has in a long time. That said, he doesn't want to be here forever. Like, it's cool. It's a good experience. He's learning things. He can hopefully find knowledge that he's not privy to already and amass wealth that can be used for his purposes and make this core unit that he's, you know, hiding in like a herd of buffalo get stronger as well. But it feels, Caleb almost talked to Bo about it there last Thursday. There just never was a moment. It's starting to feel wrong to be, and again, Liam, I love the boat shit. We could stay for 10 more episodes, but it's starting to feel wrong to Caleb. First, he was like, oh, this is interesting. Let's go on a trip. And he wants to get back. Conflicting feelings.
Right.
I think I want to follow Ford's trail to the bitter end of whatever that is, because I feel like it's going to eventually connect to something.
Something bad's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. But I'll also say, once we're out of danger, the notion of just like going more master and commander and a little less... Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah.
Will
never mind.
Less Weekend at Bernie's and more something that's not as dumb as Weekend at Bernie's.
That's a great movie.
Class of Nukem High. I don't know. Or I'm trying to think of a good pirate. What's a good pirate movie? I don't know.
Pirates of Caribbean.
Captain Blood.
4. Is there a 4? I have no idea.
There's a 4. I don't know. I've only seen the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. And then none of the other ones like spoke to me, and I'm not a big fan of Johnny Depp, so I was like, meh, I'm good.
I think I saw 2 of them.
Dip Burn.
I like the really old
Cutthroat Island.
Cutthroat Island also great. I love Muppet Treasure Island.
Muppet Treasure Island is a classic.
So good.
Goonies.
Goonies.
Goonies is technically a pirate movie.
We're pretty close to the Goonies.
I think y'all are basically the Goonies because they also are on a pirate adventure that they didn't actually sign up for really.
This is our time down here.
Oh my god! I'm taking it back. Taking them all back. So good. Anyway, you guys want to give away some more free shit?
Man.
Because I do.
It's free.
If you got it, then yeah.
Can't sell it. It's free.
Nope. Hey, the teleprompter went and did things, and now I can't see what I'm supposed to say. There it is. Our next giveaway is for you fans that create and send in incredible art from moments during Critical Role. It's time for Fan Art of the Week.
I wear cardigans all the time.
Why aren't you wearing a cardigan right now?
Because this is the new Critical Role hoodie.
Can you imagine if we made a Critical Role cardigan?
That would be amazing.
Wow, you just blew my mind.
Oh my god.
How would you print on it though? That's blasphemy.
No, you wouldn't. You would sew in a little textured CR logo.
We could get Casey.
Yeah,
and we could have her like just do it.
Anyway. Bead, somehow a bead or two woven into the lapel.
Knit one, pearl two.
Hi, Casey.
Love you, Casey. Okay, this week's fan art winner for Campaign 2, Episode 41, was sent in by Jonathan Jacobs at JennyBits. Let's take a look.
JennyBits?
My handle, too.
Yeah, that's fun.
Whoa.
Dark Toe. Yeah.
That's, oh my god. Yeah. What is that reminding me of? Oh, Pirates of Darkwater? That's got some Pirates of Darkwater vibe.
Sure.
Really cool.
Oh, I'm into it.
Avantika looks so excited.
Right?
Oh,
she's
man.
She's like, das. Jester's super pumped too.
I love the canopy and the, oh, it's so, God, pretty. That's a theme park I want to go to.
I love the mist too. I love how they did the mist. Mm.
Jester's actually thinking about grabbing Avanting by the ankle and just chucking her
right
in the ocean.
She's like, I can just swing you over my head.
I never pictured Ivanka wearing the big pirate hat, but now I can't think of anything else after seeing
it's
that.
There.
Mm. It's just so flouncy.
Thank you to everyone who submitted. Congrats to you, Jonathan. You have won this. Oh yeah, I got to show a thing.
Yeah.
I forgot about that part. You have won this figured Myrtlewood Dice Vault, a new wood currently available. You can enter our weekly contest, and it's so pretty.
Yeah.
It's supposed to like
glimmers.
Brian usually does something. He pretends to be fascinated by magnets or something like that. It's
that is
cool.
Arcane
he like rubs it on himself
nature.
Or something. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Here, you can rub.
I'm gonna rub.
Rub that wood.
Ooh. The only thing I think of Avantika wearing is
nothing.
Ford.
Yeah, nice.
Ford tough.
Mm-hmm.
Tight. You can enter our weekly contests by emailing your GIF or fan art to submit at toxmachina.com. Rules for our contests are available at critroll.com. Moving on. Give me that.
Mm,
yeah. Moving
submit.
On.
It's really submit.
Where is it?
Submit. There we are.
There's so many. Okay, I'm gonna put this away now. Business. Okay. from Jordan Springer for Taliesin.
Oh yeah.
Caduceus seems to be the closest thing the Nine has to a moral compass.
Sure.
How does he feel now that the group is becoming closely associated with pirates, even with it being a way to make sure that Uk'otoa isn't awakened?
Ends, means, you know.
Can they justify?
Yeah, again, like this is problems between civilized people, which is not really his domain of morality. He's I don't want to say he's nervous because he's not nervous, but he is paying attention.
Mm-hmm. He is
going to he's definitely going to be like keeping everybody in check to be like, okay, we're bad, but we're scoundrels. We're not a problem.
We're lovable scamps.
Yeah, let's make sure everybody's having a good time. As long as everybody can walk away being like, that was kind of fun. I survived, I lost half my stuff, but everything's okay.
I got healed.
Yeah.
All right, got a tattoo.
Tight.
Let's keep it a cheeky and not go beyond that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just gonna just try and keep everybody on the right page.
For really bad for that poor guy, Lieb, who got that tattoo.
That's a
so sad. Feel bad for that guy.
Someone who was once tattooed against their will, I definitely had some.
Oh, no.
I had some bad, like,
oh,
I feel
no.
you, bro.
Oh,
I feel you.
Oh, oh no.
Don't get
Liam.
Drunk in a tattoo
yeah. Oh, gosh.
Moving on.
Beautiful business boy wants to know, Caleb gave Jester the magical paints with a little hesitation. Does he worry about what she'll do, or does he think she'll use the paints for mainly good or benign uses?
Oh,
does
no. I mean, he knows he's going to get pranked so hard with those paints.
Nothing good's going to come of that.
Yeah, but he has a soft spot for her against his better judgment. She
Don't
has.
She.
She makes him laugh. I mean, like, he thought that he was, like, just a total black hole of misery. And this, and Knott doesn't even do that, right? Like, Knott is just his hobo buddy for, like, cuddling for cold in the freezing night in the woods.
She is a hobo.
Like, survival.
Isn't she?
Sure, she is,
God,
just like him.
So true. She is
but Jester, like, I think in his mind, he's like, well, there is no joy in my life. I'm just supposed to be miserable forever. And he picks people to reinforce that, but Jester kind of, like Aikido, just sort of disarms and gets in. So he's still like keeping her at arm's length to a certain degree, but she makes him laugh, so.
I love that. I think still one of my absolute favorite moments that there's been in the campaign was the two of you guys waltzing. Mm. That was
I'm fond of that.
So good. So lots of really beautiful art from that moment, too.
Yeah, can I have Brian Foster's creepy head
Absolutely.
For a second?
Everyone can. Can you also please move Key Bear? You're like suffocating.
Am I suffocating Key Bear?
Yes. Oh,
great.
It's making me very uncomfortable.
I'll take Key Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And not Kiri.
Yay.
Kiri and Key Bear.
Yay. Go. Snuggles. He's not here. And do it again. Swipe it.
Is he up? Is Brian up there?
And he's here. Oh!
Yeah, there we go.
That's what you get for not being here.
That's
true.
That's
it's better now. It's better now without you.
This is the show it always could be.
Brian, yeah. what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, Brian.
Stonewalling again. Fine, be that way.
Come on, Brian.
Don't
I gave
just
you
glare
an entire floor here.
This new show, Pillow Talk, coming.
So.
Oh, technically, he does at least now resemble the appropriate host for Between the Sheets.
Anyway, so let's distract ourselves from Brian's just general self. With at Miss Sunflower 94, who has a question for Taliesin, how does Caduceus feel about Ford's bad decisions affecting the group dynamic? What makes him think it was a bad decision to begin with? Just some light shtippin'. Ain't no thing.
It was politically inconvenient shtipping.
Ooh, inconvenient.
Definitely. I don't want to get too far into Clay's feelings about sex and intimacy because we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. But definitely, he's aware of the friction that's going to create with Jester. Mm-hmm. He's also aware that this woman is
batshit crazy.
Batshit fucking crazy.
And the old
unbelievably
saying goes,
dangerous. Really
you don't put your dick in crazy.
You don't put, no, and like you.
Can
you,
I say
you,
that? Yeah, I can say that. This is big Brian's job. He would say way worse things than don't put your dick in crazy.
For this entire episode. So. Yeah, and like definitely, like you don't, you, it's, it, we're already walking a very, very close, like difficult line.
Right.
And yeah, that was an interesting decision he made there as opposed to.
Happens when you think with your dick.
DPB.
Yeah. DPB. So and I will also say that Clay is a little judgmental. He's a little he's a bit of a judgmental motherfucker.
Yeah, that seems
comes
clear.
With the homeschooling.
Yeah, most home. Wait, I shouldn't say that. That's me.
No, my brother's home. No. A little brother who's possibly watching.
Oh, hi, little brother. So hi to I think my mom's watching. Hi, mom.
Hi, Danny, mom.
Okay, at Seducious Clay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love it so much. Hi, Seducious Clay, you're great. Both. You seemed unsettled by the conversation between Jester and the Traveler, especially with talk of her meeting her brethren in less than a year. Are you worried for Jester and what this might entail? Obviously, you guys didn't actually hear
you're
this.
You're asking Taliesin and Liam.
Yeah, I'm asking Taliesin and Liam.
I'm waiting for her story to turn unbelievably dark.
Just oh my God, me too.
I mean, I think it just did. That was creepy as fuck, that conversation. Yeah, I was not, let's pull some pranks. You want to paint something? That was, join my cult.
And, yeah. I have thoughts that I definitely don't want to share my theories just because my theories are that's too close to the source. Mm. But I definitely have theories on what's happening there and it makes me nervous.
Well, our next question from Barbara Octaviani is what are your theories on the Traveler?
Yeah.
Who he is, what he's up to, how Jester plays into his plans?
I don't know. He's taking advantage of her somehow,
he's
but
where he is, who he's with, what he's thinking about, if he's thinking about us and whether or not he'll ever return.
So many thoughts on who the Traveler is, but I don't want to say them because I feel like they're too inside baseball.
I feel like we are too inside baseball.
I know.
I
would much rather, I feel like I've tweeted about it before because I'm the worst, but I have my thoughts. I have my theories. I know you guys do, but I almost don't want to say too much because if it ends up being right, I feel like they're going to be like, oh, well, those weren't theories. Matt just told them or something like that. So
it's a real coin flip, though. Who's more dangerous, Uketoa or the Traveler?
Traveler.
Yeah.
None of these gods seem cool, man.
No. My god's cool.
Your god's fine. She's nice.
She's awesome. She got her shit together.
Okay, at Lose Better, for Liam. Mm. Caleb has been notably tight-lipped about his family, with only a few exceptions, but he seemed open enough to discussing his father with Ford. Was it a means of connecting with him over his story about Vandren, or a gesture of trust? Neither? Both?
Neither. That was obfuscation. Mm. That was trying to answer without answering anything that he asked me. And also, The audience knows a lot of what went down with Caleb because he told Bo and not, but both as a player that night back then and as Caleb, it wasn't like, oh, cool, I'm going to talk. Like, I sat there and stewed for an hour, like, whether to pull that trigger or not. But Caleb and Liam really wanted to go into that library. And the party at that moment was like, well, we're leaving tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning, we're leaving. So I was like, my whole point is to get knowledge. And I could justify it to myself with saying, if this goes south on me, I will literally just bamf out of this game and maybe ring him back later or something, but he could just disappear. He's disappeared before, he could do it again. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You had another character in mind too, like in the back of your head.
I didn't at that moment, but that spooked me and I do have one now if need be. Telling it to Bo was not easy to do and really reckless and like a gambit of his. Mm-hmm. So he's not in any rush to tell anyone else, and he is, of course, very on alert at all times to see where he's at with Beauregard, and if Beau is going to keep that secret, and he doesn't want it to come out, and if it did in a way that wasn't acceptable, he would go. He'd be gone.
Right.
So it's kind of hard on a boat, but that's why when Ford asked that, I'm not in a rush to tell anybody anything.
Right. I want to jump to CC7, another question for Liam. Caleb confessed to Ford he's sure Avantika will end up killing him. How does he feel about Ford's immediate and easy acceptance of this fact? Does he find his lack of hesitation to seemingly share Caleb's concern more telling or worrying?
I think that his read on Ford is that Ford is, this is such a dark reference, God, I can't believe I'm going to make this dark reference on this show. When Robert Downey Jr. was in prison and trying to get out, and like he was talking about his drug habit to a judge, he said, it's like I've got the shotgun in my mouth and I like the taste of the metal. That's what just popped in my head. And like both Caleb and Ford in different ways, they're like, I know what I'm doing is extremely dangerous, but I'm entranced with it and I can't let go.
It's
and I think
like
he's
an adrenaline junkie
thing. Yeah, and he senses that, like he sees Ford as a thoughtful person, an intelligent person, someone who would do good if he could, but is also pulled towards
this. Bit of an addict.
Yeah, bit of an addict.
Yeah.
And Caleb's an addict with his fantasies of writing things. Mm-hmm. So he can kind of, and he wouldn't share this with Ford, but he can sympathize in a way that, like, I know that you've got your mouth wrapped around the gunmetal and you like the taste of it, and that's rough, buddy.
Yeah, it's rough, buddy. Mm-hmm. For Taliesin at Pinjamwa. What would Caduceus have done or said to Jomedi if he hadn't gotten away so quickly? I noticed there was a bit of like,
oh. Yeah. Caduceus doesn't like undead things.
We never figured out what that was.
No, and definitely it was a mix of like, this person's definitely giving off the vibe of something that should not exist on planet Earth or planet Exandria. And is making me nervous, and I'm tolerating it because we're in a situation where I kind of have to. But the minute I don't have to tolerate it, I mean, literally the last time I came across something undead, I screamed, panicked, and made it run the other way.
Yeah.
And he was just on a trigger the entire time, waiting, watching him, waiting for him to do anything iffy.
He was keeping a really close eye on him, like while they were on the boat together.
All the time.
Yeah.
And like, and also even in that maze of like. There's a reason he was paying attention enough to be like, you're not helping. Are you just trying to get everybody killed?
Right.
Is that your plan here? Is that what you're going for? You just want everyone dead?
And like, like you?
Yeah, like very, it was against his better judgment, even letting that thing get away in his head. He's very not okay with undead.
So curious about that character, and I have real strong theories and opinions about it that I don't want to say out loud either. I just want to see what happens, and I don't want to pollute like
the world.
Other people's experiences.
Definitely like cornering him, interrogating him, and then possibly getting rid of him if necessary may have come up, but the moment was never right, and it was never
gone in the dark tome mist.
Yeah, like another an abomination walking the earth kind of vibe. Like undead make him very. It is the one thing that is like truly abhorrent to the natural order of that
right.
of that universe.
He's all about nature, and undead, not very natural.
No, they are literally an incursion from a like alternate universe that is neither nature nor civilization, but this terrible thing that is against both.
It's fascinating to me on so many levels.
Super metal, though.
Yeah.
Super metal.
Metal as fuck. Mm-hmm.
So we've got, I want to get to one more question for Liam before we get to our last one. At Tabaxi took my girl. Yeah.
Meow, motherfucker.
Liam, when Caleb told Ford to do what you have to, did he have anything specific in mind? How did Caleb interpret Ford and Ford requesting him to right the ship?
Well, their lives are in danger with this woman. Mm-hmm. And her interest is clear. She flirts with him in front of the group. And our lives are in danger. So sleeping with somebody
out of necessity is not a big whoop. Mm-hmm. So do that if you have to do that. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Simple answer.
Nice.
Taliesin agrees.
What about with his request to right the ship? What do you think that Ford was asking him in that moment? Do you have any deeper thoughts? Deep thoughts?
I think that Ford, on some level, there's mutual respect between the two of them that doesn't get said outright. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that while they don't agree all the time, motherfucker pulled a sword to the wizard's throat.
He did.
That mutual respect makes him think that Caleb could take the reins and get people out or stop something terrible from happening if need be, if mm-hmm. Ford became compromised beyond his own control.
Right.
Caleb doesn't necessarily agree with that estimation of him.
We definitely feel that your side of the table are the people who would take charge. Anybody on that side of the table are the group of people who would take charge in an emergency, and our side of the table would draw dicks on things.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I don't see Caduceus drawing a dick on something.
He could be. He could get
he
there.
Could he be persuaded?
He could be persuaded.
Tight.
He could, at the very least, grow a very, very, very comedic gourd.
Tight.
I think he'd also just sit there drinking his hallucinogenic tea and laughing his ass off while his two delinquents ran around. Mm.
We are very close to out of time, but we have one more question from @Megzilla87.
Hey.
Meg. For both. Words can't express properly how much your gratitude of Fanworks means to us as fan creators. From hundreds of fan art pieces to epic rap battles, what's one of the most amazingly surreal or heartwarming thing you've seen created by the community thus far?
I don't even know.
Well, that's hard to answer. I'll try to think of a thing or two, but before giving that specific answer, I'll just say that, like, how long has this show been going on? 3.5 years?
I have no concept of time.
March of 2015.
Jesus.
Right from the beginning, we were seeing things that I couldn't have anticipated. And if I name a thing or two, anyone who I don't name, please don't feel bad, because there has been, like, literally it feels like every 2 or 3 days we go, whoa!
That's about right.
It's constant and meaningful. And we've loved everything that we've seen, from, like, the roughest sketch to a fully produced epic rap battle.
This is a bit of a cop out, but it is actually true. So for what it's worth, it was a couple years ago they started doing the gift exchange in the Reddit thread, the critter gift, like, that blew my fucking mind, and I was just so blown. I really liked that they were, like, making stuff for each other. Mm-hmm. Was really, I mean, like, it's something that, like, every fandom I've ever been in, I was hoping would go that direction, but it was one of those, like, you know, maybe they'll build an Iron Man theme park one day. It was like one of those things where you're like, I hope one day, but, like, never to see. But, like, actually seeing this fandom do it was pretty
the amazing way that this community takes care of each other, I think, is one of the most beautiful things in the entire world. It's absolutely incredible. Just the way that they rally behind each other whenever someone, you know, loses their house or loses something important to them, or if someone's going through a hard time, or if someone's going through a great time. Like, the way that they're just constantly there for each other, I think, is absolutely beautiful and incredible.
And the show is definitely, like, the fandom has grown, and it is, and we are, I mean, it's hard, I don't know how well they can see what it's like on this end of things, steering the ship. But, like, we really try and honor that energy as best as we can.
I'll name one, and it's one of hundreds or thousands at this point. At Sketching Sparrow, Casey.
Oh, Casey.
Who I love everything she does.
Yeah.
I love everything she does. Sometime after, I don't know, I feel like it was after the Thordak fight. She's done a series of
spoilers
panels.
Spoilers for campaign one.
Yeah, spoilers for campaign one. After the Thordak fight, she did a sort of a comic, but beautifully painted, of the twins flying through the sky on the way and thinking backwards to the twins' mother. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't need to rehash it again. That moment in the campaign had a very a layered meaning to me. Mm-hmm. And the comic was just very, I don't know, kind of captured what that felt like that night, so. That's one. That's one of hundreds, and there's so many. I have a huge, in my closet, I have a huge poster box that I have, like, physical art
and favorite pieces of art saved. It's all over the, I have a garage office, an office over my garage, and it is, I have no place to put anything. It is full of mementos from the last 3.5 years, many of them sent in by fans.
We are trying to eventually figure out how best to deal with, what's the word on the curate?
Yeah.
We've been having long conversations about curating
yeah. mm-hmm.
this amazing collection for so long.
I think at the end of the day, it's just incredible to see everything that people create and all of their various aspects, no matter what it is. The fact that the show is inspiring such creation is fantastic.
Entire musicals written about the exactly. show, poetry man. Sent in, artwork done,
burlesque acts,
and burlesque yeah. acts, endless writing.
That may cosplay. Be one of my favorites.
Cosplay, yeah,
is the Molly Mock burlesque act.
Teas, really soaps. It's overwhelming, and these books here are like monuments to.
They're love letters.
And I know it's one aspect of things that fans send in, but it is like a monument
God,
to
the cosplay.
This community. Yeah.
Well, guys, that's about all the time that we have for tonight. We did it. We did it.
You did it.
You did
it. Thanks.
But can you survive after dark?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's fine.
It's pretty easy. It's kind of the same
like
thing.
The same thing.
We go to the bathroom.
It's like the pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I get to look on Twitter real fast, see how much everybody was like, eh, or whatever.
Please.
Speaking of, stick around for Talks Machina in Darkness. I would like to thank Liam and Taliesin for joining us tonight. Yay! I would like to also thank Max and Steve and Chris and Zach and everybody, wonderful people who are here making this happen. You're all wonderful and beautiful.
Good luck in the court systems, Brian.
Yep, you're gonna do great, buddy. You're doing great.
They'll never find your peers. Certainly not 12 of them.
Episode 42 airs this week. Until then, don't forget to love each other. And don't worry, it's almost Thursday. Stay turnt, my friends.
Turnt.
We did it. We're on After Dark.
It's so dark.
Hey guys.
It's so after.
It's so dark.
Does anybody else feel like it's getting like colder or something?
Yeah.
I mean, in general.
Flesh for like, some reason.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
It's weird.
Not sure what's happening.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh.
About
no.
that.
Oh.
About
like
that
we're
was.
Being visited.
We're being watched, aren't we?
Mm.
I'm uncomfortable.
Foster cam.
Oh,
that's
God.
Intense.
It's not okay. It's really not okay. Right. I don't like it.
Not that different from the original statue. Really.
Yeah, it's actually pretty similar. Mm. Okay, let's do some after dark questions, you guys.
Yeah,
that
okay.
sounds fun.
After dark.
We're going to do semi after dark.
Oh, sure.
From Greek Sid, both. What was your favorite part of coordinating the new art book?
Mm. I've already kind of said my favorite part of the new art book, but... It's finally using all of those Whitestone notes that were just languishing in my folder.
Oh, success! Oh, shit! No, I don't know if I want to talk about that.
There's
Sorry.
A thing we can't talk about.
There's
a whole chunk of something I can't talk
yeah.
about. That's a surprise.
Yeah, we'll wait till it shows up in
the
photos.
Came together really well.
Yeah, there's a cool little.
There's a cool thing.
The book.
I liked doing another about the like about us gallery. Like we kind of took the idea from the book one and kind of transferred it to book two, and I'm really mm-hmm. excited that people are going to see that.
I think my favorite thing about both of them is that, like, so there's this huge, amazing ocean of artwork that exists now for our campaign one and campaign two. And going back and finding things that tell the story beats of mm-hmm. the campaign. Like, there's so many amazing pictures that are not in these books because they just weren't the right musical note in the song
right.
we were trying to compose.
Right. Mm.
Fun little challenge.
Oh, God, yeah.
Love that. From Casually Challenged, for anyone that can answer, how do you determine who is on an episode of Talks each week? Funny thing, I can answer that. So the way that we determine it is that we watch the episode, and then Max, Brian, and myself will sort of talk after the episode and think about, okay, well, who was a really big part of the episode, who had a really big story beat, or had a really good moment that they could talk about, and then figure out who hasn't been on in a while, figure out who the people are that, because we're trying to keep it as fresh as we can, and be like, okay, well, Liam and Taliesin hadn't been on quite as recently. Laura and Travis were just on talking about her one shot. Matt and Marisha were on last week. We tried to get Sam on, but he refused to come on again because he's just better than us. which is fine. We knew that.
Goddamn that statuette that he got.
Emmy award-winning bastard. Yeah. It's fine. So that's how we do it, is basically we watch the episode and then we figure out, okay, who would be a great get? Oh, wait, this person was just on talks. Right. Maybe we should focus on somebody else, and
or,
then
or they're working Tuesday night.
Or they're working Tuesday night. It's so many times that we would love to have somebody on who is just unavailable.
A variety of factors goes into it.
A variety of factors goes into who is on Talks Machina. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, I feel like I show up when called about 80% of the time, and I think that's, you know, varies mm-hmm. person to person.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Perks of March wants to know, for all, which magical tattoo would you like to get as normal humans? We can talk about Orly's tattooing skills.
I
would tat up my intelligence, man, past that ceiling, that natural ceiling. Gotta do it.
I'd like a dex upgrade. Right. I'm feeling my age.
So would that be for you or for Caleb?
Both. I'm not that bright.
Oh.
But Caleb, you know, has shit to do, so that extra bump would be good.
Caduceus and I both would get the dex upgrade.
Tight.
I mean, unless I could, like, max out above the natural window, like, I don't think we ever discussed whether or not you can go above and beyond the
Grok did.
With
the tattoo, I don't know.
Tattoo window floors at 20 or whether or not you can use the tattoo to push to 22.
Well, you also want to make sure that you do it in a way that it's actually bumping you, because if you're already at 20, just getting a plus one only puts you at 21, doesn't give you anything.
I guess my runner-up would be bumping charisma a little higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one point would bump my intelligence, but I kind of like my intelligence being a little low. I don't want to fuck with that.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out whether you want to keep that stat low or if you want to actually, like, give yourself a little bit of
Yeah, I definitely don't think I'm taking the stat upgrade in the next level.
Oh, yeah?
No, I've got my eyes set on other things.
That's exciting. I think that I would want, I don't know, I feel like I would want maybe wisdom. I take it back. I would take Constitution.
Oh,
I'm a
God.
Sickly lady.
not getting sick in December.
And I work really hard. No. Yeah, I would definitely take Constitution. I'd like that plus one, because that's a real low stat for me.
Con roll also means you could eat spicier food in general.
That's true. I would like to be able to be more adventurous with my, like, Indian food. That would be nice.
I watched Erica Ishii eat a, like, habanero chip, like one of those, like, or ghost pepper chips that, like, nearly killed her a couple days ago.
That's not
it was an individually wrapped chip. It was a chip that was, it was single wrapped and apparently dangerous.
God.
Yeah, she cried.
Pay me to do that. One time I had a really bad breakup with a guy, and one of my friends drank a thing of ghost pepper sauce to make me laugh, because I was really upset and I was sad, and we were at a restaurant, and so he picked up this bottle of, like, ghost pepper sauce and just chugged it.
Yeah.
It was terrifying, but it was also hilarious. And it worked.
I feel like I love you. I don't think I would do that.
Oh no, no one should do that. This was also, like, right out of college. I think that he was also just not, like,
sober.
Probably. it was not the smartest decision. It was super sweet. Charlie, you're a wonderful human. I don't think he's watching. But no. It was one of those things where it was 100% like to make me laugh, and I really appreciated it. But it was also like, oh God, please don't ever do that again. That was terrifying.
Y'all remember a few years ago when everybody I knew and everyone on planet Earth tried to peer pressure me into doing Hot Pepper Gaming?
Yeah, we won.
Yes.
And I never did it.
I never wanted you to do it.
Because I remember.
Oh, no, Hot Pepper Gaming, I vividly remember watching one of the episodes with Marisha, and she's, like, bent over the table, like, glitter, like, dying, and all I could think the whole time was, someone save her, someone help this poor woman, because
herself.
All I could think the entire time, like, my mom instincts were just, like, out of control, like, watching. I was like, this isn't funny, this isn't okay, nothing about this is okay.
Your body does not want that.
No.
Watching Matt crack was pretty interesting, though. Mm-hmm. It has given us some memorable moments.
All I wanted to do was save her. That was all I wanted.
I grew ghost peppers in my backyard, or we have a ghost pepper plant.
Physician, save thyself.
Right. Drink your milk.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. Knit me a pony, which
you can't do that.
Kind of into that name.
You can knit anything.
Question for everyone. Other than dicks, what would you like to make with Jester's new paints? And what would your
dicks.
Characters make?
Oh, fuck.
Other
oh.
than dicks.
Vaginas everywhere.
Thank you. Equal
like
opportunity.
Like butterflies.
Beautiful.
Let's all imagine that.
Everyone's got a butt. Butts are great.
Mate, what would I like to make out of the magical paints
yes.
into existence?
You and Caleb, and then you and Caduceus.
I mean, I really like the idea of just doing TARDIS-y space bending stuff and like you know, using it as just, but like, it's all, everything I would use it for is very practical. I'm glad it's not in the hands of a practical human being.
Yeah. Oh.
A letter from the Emperor granting me access to every library within its borders.
If you paint, if you drew a book with a particular title of a rare book that you were looking for and then opened it after drawing it, would the book actually have the print on the inside?
I highly doubt it.
I doubt it. It would probably be over 25 gold as well if it was particularly rare. I would argue the semantics of that.
Oh, is everything you can make has to be under 25 gold?
Under 25 gold, yeah.
So like you can make a diamond, except it's just costume jewelry. It'll look like a diamond more or less, but it's worth shit.
25
it's,
gold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth, it's 25 gold diamond.
Man, I gotta think about that.
Rhinestones.
Right.
Love a good rhinestone.
Mm-hmm. Just make Jester a rhinestone cowgirl.
Sure.
It's eight.
She's already a rhinestone cowgirl.
Yes, she is.
She could get a big, she could make herself a saucy 10-gallon hat.
That would be awesome. I would just make myself clothes, probably.
Oh, yeah.
I would just, because I have like, I'm a terrible, but I also, okay, so I'm a terrible artist. Like, real bad. As Liam has actually seen whenever I remember way back in the first campaign.
What are we talking about?
Like literally like a month into the first campaign, I was bored at work and I drew Vax fighting the blue dragon and like the party watching him do it. And it was like, really bad. It was like stick figure art. And I...
Kind of blowing my mind here.
Yeah, it was really, really old, but it was really, really bad. And I recently drew a Vax for Casey to make her... We're talking about Casey a lot tonight. I love it. Hi, Casey.
She's a good egg.
I think like getting like fashion designer friends to make cool clothes for us and then like reenacting the Take On Me video would be pretty cool.
I feel like I would just hand it to people who could make actual things. I feel like anything I would paint would just come out horribly deformed. It'd be very terrifying. It would be bad. Bad news bears.
Oh, you could draw a bear.
I would draw a terrible bear.
Draw me a sheep. Sorry.
That would be so bad.
Painting like one of your French girls.
Let's see. Windcat Dreamer wants to know, Liam, how swole are you so far from the push-ups?
I'm not that swole. I'm fine.
I did quite a lot
the first 2 days. And truth be told, I feel kind of silly posting myself doing push-ups almost every day on social media. I really did not expect the tally to go that high, but
boy,
I'm sticking
to
it. I did
position
it to myself.
Heal thyself.
Right, but it's but push-ups are good for you. Putting a hot pepper in your face is not good for you.
It's true.
So the first 2 days I did 300 a day, and my body said, slow down, wait, take a day off. And now I'm clocking in at 200. I'll just take a while to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm fine, it's
I'll
fine.
I'll get back to that once my knees are better.
You know, they're split up throughout the day. It's good, and I've still got a kind of hinky knee right now, which I'm dealing with.
We both have hinky knees.
Hinky knees.
Yeah.
My knees are
kinky
fine.
Boots. So I can't run. I love running, and I can't run probably for a couple more months. So push-ups is all I got.
There you go.
It's fine.
It's all you got. Nothing else. Library Child wants to know, all,
good
if
name.
You could see an epic rap battle between anyone from campaigns 1 and 2, who would it be?
Vex and Scanlan.
That'd be tight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, between the two campaigns?
Yeah. Well, I mean, of campaign 1 and campaign 2, anybody from those two campaigns. Scanlan had
an epic rap battle with somebody.
So many good pairings. Definitely Vex and Scanlan. I'd like
That'd
to see
great.
Vex and Vax. I'd like to see Grog and Jester.
That would be tight.
I'd like to see Caleb and Lyra. I'd like to see Clarota and our Tortle.
I want to see the Tortle do a rap battle in general. That would be amazing. Orly would be great.
Bo would be the most satisfying to
I think Bo and Percy would be
Bo
a really
and Percy
interesting.
Would be a lot of fun. They are the two characters that have the most. Like she has some. Like
it would be like Beau Noel Percy. Coward versus hip hop.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But like Beau and Percy have a lot in common, though.
It's true.
So I will
it's
see true. Percy They're do very
similar characters. Very distinct differences.
Right.
But they have a lot in common. Yeah.
Like the ladies. Hmm.
The ladies.
Man, especially I feel like. Like, especially because, like, in first campaign, like, Percy was the character that every single person wanted to bone.
Oh, he was, yeah, he was the never-ending Shagathon.
Yeah, and so, and Beau is trying to go out of her way to bone every single person.
And it has so far been the never-ending Shagathon.
Yeah.
In a very similar way.
I'm very
way.
Proud of both of them.
Yeah. You need never-ending Shagathons,
I feel really,
like.
I just really love Percy, and I just really want to see him do a rap battle. I don't even care who it's with. He could rap battle himself. That would be interesting.
Good rap battle Molly.
There we go.
They would not like each other.
They would hate each other.
The shopkeeps of each campaign.
Gilmore versus Pumat.
But it would be Gilmore versus Pumat and Pumat and Pumat and Pumat.
I think Gilmore could handle himself.
Yes, yes. But that would be the shtick. It would be like multiples on Gilmore. Mm. That's very Gilmore.
Yeah.
Gilmore. That's so
yeah.
Gilmore.
I mean, yeah. Sure.
So Gilmore.
That's a handsome fella right there.
Look at his hair. Mm. That was a terrible thing.
You certainly bring it right there.
I think that's about our time. Yeah.
We're going to put, what do you think, head of Brian?
Yeah.
Is the show over?
Creepins. Hmm. How you doing, buddy? You all right?
Wow.
Looks like
just light up for us?
Yeah, he looks like Max Headroom.
Yeah. I keep expecting it to talk. Very unsettled right now.
Oh, spooky.
Spooky.
Yeah. Now he looks like the Terminator.
The Haunting of Talks Machina.
Oh, now he's just fucking with us.
Just
now that's
like
a character
Brian.
I want to build in Soul Calibur right
Brian,
there.
Brian, light up as much as you can. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so pleased. Hey, I'm just seeing all the stuff that's on the talks set. I'm so pleased.
You're seeing it for the first time?
There's some new things I'm very excited about.
This is the talks machina set.
I know, we gotta start changing it up at some point.
We have started a little bit. All there's right. new things. There's
I
stuff.
Found, I just found it's a gradual. New thing, so it made me happy.
Yeah. We don't like to do like a complete overhaul. We
no,
gotta like
bits and pieces,
add
bits and pieces. Pieces.
Mm-hmm. Bits and pieces, bits and pieces, books mm-hmm. and cats and books and cats. Anyway, that's enough. Let's make
let's
this
put
stop.
Danny Carr out of her misery.
I like the Kiki vibe going on, by the way.
The Kiki vibe?
You got a little bit of Kiki's delivery service going on.
Oh, I love that. Cute. I dressed up as Kiki for Halloween 1 year.
I believe it.
My ex at the time was Gigi.
That's cute.
It was pretty cute. He wasn't, but the concept was
concept.
Really
concept,
cute.
Concept.
But yeah. Anyway, thanks, guys. After Dark, y'all are great.
Danny. You are fantastic.
Thank you for
thank you for
going with us today. It was great.
Yeah. This was fun and terrifying.
I don't want to say that I'll be sad when Brian comes back next week.
I'll say it. I'll be sad when Brian comes back next week. I feel like someday he's going to have to pay for what he's done.
Someday.
Someday.
Pay for all of that trauma.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Danny, save us from this general malaise.
That would be cool. All right, so that was fun. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Alpha Chat. Bye.
Bye,
everybody. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Tox Machina on the Critical Role Podcast Network. If you like this episode, please drop a review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tox Machina airs live on Twitch at twitch.tv/Critical Role on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific. We'll see you next time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.